We had a collaboration with some Chinese scientists.
Here we have a vaccine. What is the problem? Get over it.
Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
I hope that it can occur in a civil way. I mean civil in a special way, peaceful.
The biggest question, maybe in economics and politics of the coming decade, will be what to do with all these useless people.
I just see the need for such a dialogue, and I see the need for action. I see the need for a great reset.
We are 4 years and 6 days into 14 days to flatten the curve. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Johnny Anderson alongside Melissa from Cutting Through the Matrix. Melissa, it is once a fortnight. How are you?
I am well. Thank you, Johnny.
It's good to see you. For 4 years, I've asked all the other people that have been on for the last week or so. It's been 4 years into, I mean, this is, you know, 4 years into 2 weeks. You know, it's the longest 2 weeks of your life. It is for me.
There's no end in sight either.
No. Nope. Wait till the next pandemic. Yeah, you're going to love that one. We could talk about that one offline. I forgot to mention that in soundcheck. But I thought today, like I said, I haven't really looked at the news much today. I thought we'd talk about Haiti for a little bit. Everybody's had a chance to weigh in on Haiti. You haven't been around since. Well, actually, I think Haiti started the last time that you were on, but we really didn't know a whole lot. Mm-hmm. But it's a mess down there. It's an absolute disaster. I don't know what would constitute this being considered a failed state. At this point, it looks like the rug has just been ripped out from underneath everything down there. And you've got some crazy guy named Barbecue running around that's in charge of things. Now, you couldn't make this up. Have you seen a picture of this Barbecue fella? No.
Yeah.
Where they dug this guy up from, I don't know. But
do you have one handy?
I will. Yeah, hang on.
Are you going to show me Barbecue?
Yes, I'll show you Barbecue. Hold on just a sec.
The thing that I don't understand about this, Johnny, is that we do know that Bill Clinton and George W. Bush were down there distributing aid. So how could things have gotten so bad when you've got those two down there doing their best through their foundations?
That's Barbecue there on the left. Yeah, with the rifle slung across his chest. You know, I said, I don't know where they got these people, but... But yes, I do recall something about that now that you mention it. We know that the Clintons have been involved with their Clinton Foundation or is it the Clinton Foundation or initiative or something like that?
Oh, it was the Clinton Foundation. And then Bush and Bush was down there with Clinton. They've had several trips and all kinds of charitable activities. So given the interest in Haiti and the amount of money that these charitable organizations have either given to Haiti or laundered in Haiti. How did things get so bad? It's very sad. It's very sad.
It is. And I played some audio yesterday, and the administration is actually telling the Coast Guard that we need to be ushering these people in. I understand that we need to take in people that are fleeing, you know, oppression. We need to be giving them, you know, whatever shelter or whatever, but they need to be repatriated as soon as that time is over. They don't need to be staying. I can understand that. I'm a person that believes in, you know, we do offer that kind of service to people. However, that doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to be able to stay. But we all know the way that the immigration and customs enforcement works now, the Border Patrol and, you know, Customs and Border Protection, this is not how this operates any longer. It's not a matter of we're going to bring them in, we're going to give them respite until they can be repatriated. They never go back now, do they? It's just millions and millions more brought in and millions more brought in and millions more brought in.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when I was very tiny, the adults talking about Papa Doc. You remember Papa Doc?
Papa Doc? No.
Papa Doc Duvalier. He was a repressive, you'd almost call him dictator-like, although I believe he was properly elected, but he was a so-called populist, or I don't know, the kind of politician that puts their country first. So a populist platform, I guess. But he was a Black nationalist, and I never really looked into him in my adult life. But I just remember the big folks in the room talking about all of the terrible, repressive, horrible things that Papa Doc did in Haiti. And that, I think he was out by the early 70s. And then I don't really remember hearing that much about Haiti until the 90s. So I don't know if they had 20 years of relative peace and stability. I don't know what came after Papa Doc. I'm just going to look at it here. It says the post-Duvalier era is considered 1986 to 2004. And they had elections. They seemed to go pretty well. So it was that terrible earthquake that got Clinton and Bush down there. Do you remember that? That was the reason that they were supposed to be there.
I do recall that. And I do remember there was some kind of a, I don't want to say charity, because there are so many charities, quote charities, that operate in and out of that country or that do work outside of the country, even for inside that country. I know some people that have gone down there to do some charity work before, but I do remember there was something along the lines of the Clintons were involved in stealing the charity money.
Yeah.
That was being funneled through their foundation. And I remember specifically at the time, it was a news story. It was very, very short, but Chelsea, the daughter, right? She said in one of her private emails was leaked, and she sent an email to her mother, you know, that strapping young lady that ran for president, the woman who used to be the next president of the United States, that one. Yeah. She still doesn't know what happened, but she had a private email sent to her, to Hillary, asking why they were stealing the charity money, you know, why she was out there as a representative for, you know, the Clinton Foundation. And she says, but you guys are stealing all the money. What are we doing?
I didn't remember that being that explicit. That is interesting. I do, though, remember some email correspondences with Chelsea saying, this doesn't look good, and we need to put a better face on it, a better PR face on it. But I don't remember her actually saying to her mother, you know, asking the question, why are you stealing it? But you know, that
I could
that
be wouldn't paraphrasing. I don't
know.
Well, I'm not saying word.
Hey,
for word,
listen, but we know how careless Hillary was with her emails. So
yes, the server in the bathroom closet. Yeah. We remember that. Yeah. The Dropbox or whatever.
Yeah. This doesn't surprise me. But, you know, I mean, Haiti has this long history that, like I say, I haven't looked into. I just remember being small and hearing my parents. I mean, he was sort of like, for a brief window, he was presented in the news in much the way that Gaddafi was for years. You know, he's this evil, horrible dictator, and look what he's doing to his people. Also, there were a few things that made him interesting to the media. I believe he practiced voodoo.
Okay, that's interesting. That's the second time I've heard that this week. I saw it on, I want to say it was one of those conservative outlets. I have to use that term loosely now. It was one of those outlets like the Postmillennial or the Gateway Pundit or something like that. And they were talking about how Haiti was one of the original, I want to say it was one of the countries in the Caribbean that were, where there was like voodoo practices, or like it goes back a long time. Long time. And it's now, I guess, I don't even know if you want to say it's suspected or insinuated or something, where they're actually doing this again, or you know, this dark, I don't even want to call it religious practice or occultic practices going on, because we've had open reports of cannibalism that are going on down there.
Well,
again, it's just, you know, it's one of those things that you read in, you know, two or three little publications. I don't know. You're not going to hear it out of the mainstream press, though.
No, you're not. But there's been enough over the years that has filtered out that there was a huge exodus of Haitians into New York City decades ago. And you'd see depictions of this fictionally. I can't remember some, you know, the names of some of the movies, but you'd see depictions that you knew were coming from reality, you know, that the writer wasn't just making this up. But Alan talked about practices in New York City of cannibalism, and also
the authorities know about it.
I'm sure they did. I mean, it gets a little bit of coverage. You know, again, I don't know. Certainly, things going on in New York City, like sacrificing goats and chickens and that sort of thing, that was regularly reported to the police. Mm-hmm. Whether there was actual human cannibalism that was ever a problem or reported, I don't know. But the sacrificing of animals in voodoo rituals was fairly often reported in the States. I think primarily New York, because that's where you had the biggest Haitian population. But I had a friend years ago, but she was a good friend of mine for 4 years, and she'd been raised in probably New Jersey, but lived a long time in Manhattan. And she'd been pals with some people that were on the fringes of that. It's got a special word when it's tied in with Christianity and Catholicism. There's a special, it's not just straight voodoo. In other words, it's been elevated up a step. You know what I mean? I wish I could recall that the name of it, but there's a lot of serious practitioners and people that you wouldn't think are just total quacks who say that they practiced that. We should look that up and find out what it is.
Yeah, right? I'm actually curious. While you're talking, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I remember I asked you this question once. I said something about, because we got talking about the United Nations for something. I can't remember mm-hmm. exactly what it was. And there are reports of like occultic rituals that take place in that building. I've heard people give testimony, give interviews coming out talking about it, saying they were in there for something, you know, a meeting, or they were meeting with a particular diplomat or an NGO or something, and they saw these places and they're like, I don't want any part of this. And they left. But I remember I asked you once about something called theosophy, and I'd never heard the word before. You immediately knew what I was talking about. I told Bruce, I said, I bet you she'll know what it is. And sure enough, you did. You said Blavatsky, Helena Blavatsky. And that's a form of an occultic movement as well. And it's practiced throughout the world.
Well, yeah, I mean, I had a conversation not too long ago with someone who wanted me to think about just what theosophy means, which would be love of wisdom, right?
Yeah, their actual slogan is there is no religion higher than the truth.
Yeah. Theology, you know, is the study of religion. I guess you could say theosophy is the love of the study of. I haven't really broken the word down for myself, but it was founded. What we know of as theosophy was founded by Blavatsky, Helena Blavatsky, and she was an interesting Russian character for sure. Very connected woman. And by connected, I mean that. Her family, I can't remember now, but I think it was her father or her grandfather came out of what you'd call a Masonic movement. I think she claimed to have aristocratic blood. I don't know. I've never really read a bio of her, but she's an interesting character. And if you just look at the logo of Theosophy, you've got the two interlocking triangles, the six-pointed star, and then a cross within that symbol.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit of the snake eating its tail and the Nazi symbol. So there's a lot to break down just from the symbolism. But yeah, there is no religion higher than truth.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Blavatsky. But if you look, I don't know what she did other than fake she was busted for faking, you know, using people that were kind of behind the screen, so to speak. She had an elaborate system of sound amplification so that in another room, people who could pretend to be, you know, disembodied spirits, and their voice would carry over into the room where the seance was being held.
So she was a So she was a con artist.
She was a charlatan for sure. Mm. But she had an enormous effect on influence on a lot of people. She also worked with Annie Besant, and I believe Annie Besant has direct links to Mahatma Gandhi. I don't want to make stuff up there.
I'm seeing that at the moment about Annie Besant, but it actually says here that Theosophy was established in New York City in 1875 the founding of the Theosophical Society by Blavatsky and Henry Alcott. Why do I know the name Henry Alcott? That name sounds
Louisa
familiar.
May. May.
Is that the connection?
I'm guessing.
Okay.
I don't know.
Hmm.
What happens if you look up Henry Alcott?
Well, let's see. Henry Alcott, Colonel Henry Alcott. So he was a New York aristocrat, basically. Was an American military officer, journalist, lawyer, Freemason, and the co-founder of the first president of the Theosophical Society.
Okay.
Conversion to Buddhism and later became a theosophist or whatever you call them.
With that's
Europeanized
interesting.
Lens, yeah.
I don't see a connection to Louisa May, but you are even just saying the name Alcott and Louisa May, then you get into the nature lovers, the transcendentalists,
The nature Wiccans or something like that, whatever they call themselves.
Transcendentalists were just philosophers and intellectuals of a certain period, and a lot of writers came out of that. But whenever you put the word nature into a movement, and just think of the word transcendental, who grabbed a hold of transcendental? That's, TM and the Beatles and all of that. So, it's an interesting group of characters who were kind of far out in their thinking for their time. But just hopping back to Christianity, I still can't find the name of this type of worship that's still to this day common in New York City. But there's a lot of connection between or attempt to connect Christianity and voodoo. And it primarily comes from Haiti. And the other thing, too, is this is straight out of a movie, but it just when you talked about cannibalism, it made me immediately think of a very funny science fiction comedy called District 9.
Oh, my goodness. Is that the one with the aliens, the weird one?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I only made it about halfway through that, and I thought, this is just too messed up, and I turned it off.
You might not have gotten to the part of the cannibalism, that's not taking place in Haiti. But anthropologists have studied types of cannibalism and why people do it. And it has been recorded that one reason why certain tribes eat portions of the people that they kill is to assume their power. And a prized part of the body is the part that has been tattooed of warring tribes. And that was the theme that was going on in the sci-fi comedy District 9, is this person who was morphing into an alien had some ability to use. It was basically a weapons program, because they had these weapons that could only be operated by the aliens that had been left from some other alien. I'm going way off topic here, but
I have to say, I'm sitting here going, oh my goodness, my mind is like bent in three or four different directions at the moment.
So, but I mean, the point is that part of cannibalism is about the power that people believe that they will get from ingesting somebody else, some
this
other
is like
person's
the,
body.
This is like ritualistic blood drinking kind of thing. It's the same concept.
Yes, it is. It's the same concept. So, you humorously got it in the movie because the gang the tribal, the barbecue, the equivalent of barbecue.
I can't get over this.
He wanted to get this alien's arm and eat it because then he thought that he would have the power to use the weaponry, you know. So it's a silly bit, but, you know, silly bits in movies often have to make you think because it's coming out of real practices. Why do people drink blood? Why do they sacrifice animals? Why do they participate in ritualistic things, for instance, like eating body parts of another person? And part of it is the power that they believe comes from eating that. It's that's very strange.
That's a delicacy they can keep. I don't want any part of that. No, no thanks. Not interested.
Come on.
But hey, you know, if we continue on the, you know, you'll not eat any meat. Well, we're headed for that human meat market, aren't we? Did I show you the human meat that's going on in the UK? Did I show you that?
No.
Oh goodness. All right. I'm not even gonna go there.
Now you've done it.
All right. Let me see if I can find it. Hold on. I ran across it earlier today.
You know, that kind of cannibalism, though, it gives a whole new nuance to keep your friends close and your enemies closer. If you're going to eat a piece of them.
Yeah, I honestly ran across it earlier, and I don't know if I still have it. I do apologize.
That's okay. So what is happening with cannibalism in England?
It's not cannibalism. It's they're actually taking human tissue and they're growing it in a lab, and it's been given the okay supposedly for human consumption, if that makes any sense. So it does make sense,
Johnny, but I think that's happening in the US too.
Really?
I remember a news story from last year or the year before about human tissue being used in the making of synthetic meats. We should check that out.
I'll look into it. The company, I do remember the name of the company that they were referencing. It was a company called Good Harvest out of the UK. Mm-hmm. So maybe you could do a search for it and see what you could find. But I had the video earlier today and I thought I should really just hang on to this. And I can't remember what I did with it. And I just kind of set it off to the side and I wasn't paying attention. Mm-hmm. But I should have kept it. But I do remember it was one of the TV host guys or whatever, and he had made a special, and they released it on, I think it was Channel 4 out of the UK. Mm-hmm. And then the next day, it got so much pushback and so much attention that they actually did a retraction. They said, oh, no, it was just satire. It wasn't real. Mm-hmm. But they should have given that disclaimer when it first came out, as opposed to waiting until the backlash came in and then.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so I'm just fact checking myself here, and you don't know. I'm really convinced that I did see something about a human cell or some human tissue being used in this way. But all I can find when I go to look it up is something from the New York Times in 2020 that says steaks grown from human cells spark interest and outrage. And this was actually somebody's art project where they were doing a take on lab-grown meat. But it was an actual art installation of a 3D printed steak that I guess had been grown from human cells. So that's just somebody's art project. And then the fact checkers are quick to say that the lab grown meat that is not meat, or it is lab grown meat, but you know, it's grown in a lab, so it's not really meat, is cultivated from animal cells, not human cells, which makes sense. Whether or not it's true. You know what I'm saying?
You know what? I'll just take the regular steak. I'm fine with that. Or the chicken breast. I'm good with that. I don't need any more of that stuff. I don't need any lab grown whatever. You know, none of that stuff. All right. Let's move over to Canada.
But wait a minute. I want to finish in Haiti before we go to Canada.
Yeah, sure.
Just one thing to say here. We know that aborted fetuses have been used in cosmetics and in food products. Now, I know that this is processed and refined, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, but this is a fact that doesn't need to be checked. So in that way, there is a potential for people to unwittingly participate in a cannibalistic culture.
Yes, there was a certain soft drink company, I recall, that there was something that was being used in. I'm not going to say which one, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, and then, what I wanted to say about Haiti is, what's going on with cannibalism there? That's my question for you, because I hadn't heard about this.
With everything that's going on with all of the killings and things that are just randomly happening with all the takeovers and everything, there were reports of cannibalism taking place from the gang members, you know, the out of control gang members. They were burning the bodies, and I don't want to get too graphic, but
you cook meat
to eat it, you know, so.
Well, I mean, from what I've just said, anthropologically and voodoo and power and all of that, that kind of behavior, it's disgusting, but I'm not shocked.
No.
All right, let's go to Canada.
Let's go to Canada. Yeah, let's talk about Canada, you know, because it's much better up there from what I'm about to say. Yeah. Have you heard about this hate crime law that has passed in Canada? It has not been up for reading in Parliament. It's already gone through that process.
I've heard about it. Yes, I've heard about it. Yeah, that's just awful.
I am appalled by this. Mm-hmm. I'm appalled by this. And the fact that the Canadians are not burning the streets down is beyond me. I don't understand how. Okay. This will put somebody in prison for life, potentially, if you just complain about somebody that you suspect. It doesn't even have to be a real case.
Yes.
It could just be you pick up your phone and you call on your neighbor that you're arguing with over something ridiculous. Like, you know, you put your trash can out too far on my sidewalk kind of thing. And that's it. That's all that needs to happen here. And not only do you have to pay restitution of up to, I think it was $70,000 to the affected person, but you could also face life in prison.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely crazy.
No, I read that. I'm glad you brought it up, because that was something that I wanted to talk about today.
Well, go ahead, please. Unload with both barrels, if you will. But, you know, don't expect that the Trudeau police will be knocking on your door this evening.
Well, there are three things that I have seen in the news in the last week that I have not had time to follow up. One was, in addition to this hate crime bill in Canada, there's another piece of legislation infringing upon free speech in Canada that's going on right now. And there is also something that recently passed in the EU about free speech. And then there is something that I saw that talked about. I think it was Tucker Carlson having an interview with the Electronic Freedom Foundation guy. I can't remember his last name right now, but Mike somebody. And he was giving some really good examples of all of the ways in which we no longer have free speech. It's de facto gone, because we don't have to any longer have legislation passed when you've got these big tech companies who say what you can and cannot say and in what context you can and cannot say it. And I think we give a little bit of, we'll have a little bit of a conversation when we'll say, oh, they tweeted this and that's not right, or they posted this and that's not right, and they took it down and you're not free to say that, and, you know, Twitter blocked you, but now Elon Musk has Twitter and it's all different now, so we've got free speech over here. But there are a lot of things that you're not allowed to say on Twitter, and there are a lot of ways in which you are shadow banned on an outlet like Twitter, if they don't like what you're putting across. And this kind of culmination right now, it does seem, you know, that's Canada, and the hate speech thing is very similar, because then you're going to be checking yourself all the time, because your crazy neighbor absolutely can turn you in and say, it's very much like, well, Orwellian is overused, but it's all there in 1984, where people didn't really talk to each other anymore because they might fear being overheard by someone. And in 1984, the man that was turned in for re-education, which is really a kind of imprisonment, he was turned in by one of his children, you know. That's what happened. And so this is what's going to happen. Can you imagine in Canada, if a child, this is just a hypothetical here, they're 12 years old and they believe it's a boy who thinks that he's a girl now.
Yeah.
And
I see where you're going with it. Yeah.
Yeah. And this he's brought this home to the family, has said to his parents, I am a girl and I want you to start calling me she, her, and then I want to take these hormones. I'm going to be a girl because that's who I really am.
Yeah.
And he overhears his parents discussing this in the privacy of their own bedroom. That's a hate crime now because Canada already passed the legislation. I think it's Bill C-16, but I may be confusing it. It broadly covers the transgender thing. The thing.
Yeah. Joe Biden was right when he said something about a thing. I'll agree with him on that as a thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's already not possible. I mean, I remember when Alan essentially quit talking about transgender. It was shortly after that because it was no longer, it's a crime, you understand. Once that happened, prior to that, he had some very witty little poems that introduced a talk, or he would mention it, or he would read news. I mean, I still read news, but I'm going to give you an example of our lack of free speech. And if we're saying this has happened in Canada, well, you know, we're an English-speaking country just south of Canada and not that different in many ways. And quite a few things that we've seen happen in Canada have already happened in the U.S. or are on their way to happening. So last year on YouTube, I posted a talk that Alan gave many years ago. I don't remember the date now. Who knows? 8 years ago. And one little fragment of the title of it is "Your Mummy is Your Daddy," right? So
I can't keep up with it anymore. I can't.
Right. And the whole point of that was that what he was reading from was talking about sperm donors. And it was the fact that what had been discovered, especially in the gay and lesbian community, where they rely heavily on sperm donors to create their families. There was an event, and this was covered in all of the mainstream media, where a lesbian couple showed up at a ball game with their children, and they were sitting next to a gay couple, whatever, and they realized, you know, our children look awful lot alike. And what they realized with, I don't remember now the configuration of who got the egg and who got the sperm and what the configuration of the couple was. But they realized, yes, indeed, these people who did not know each other shared biologically related children. And that brings you to that movie Code 46, where this the sperm donor, in other words, you had to register in order to be able to carry a child to term and raise that child because of things like this, because otherwise there might be some kind of incestual relationship that was biologically damaging to the species if it wasn't totally controlled. So there's
that. Right.
So that's all I did. I put up that talk a year ago and YouTube pulled it down for medical misinformation.
A year ago.
And I'm like,
when they supposedly
pulled it up last week. They pulled it down last week.
I put
it up a year ago. They just took it down.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay, well, now that's really weird. What kind of a microscope am I under? Well, guess what? They did it again. 4 days later, I had another video that I had posted a year ago. This one, Alan was reading a story that had been published, I think, in Science magazine in the year 2003. And all he was reading, and this particular talk, I believe, was from 2007. And he was reading a story about some research that was going on in fetal vaccination of lambs. And
I'm sorry, hold on a second. Fetal vaccination of lambs.
Yeah. And Alan made the comment. Okay. He said, now, they're telling us that this is about lambs, but don't make any mistake. This kind of thing can be done in humans. This is where we're headed. I had that one pulled down, and they told me that it was medical misinformation. And so, you know, I fight everything. So I fought them. I took my 800 words and I used it very, very carefully. Because the medical misinformation, the little paragraph they send you, says that it's anything that goes against recommendations of the World Health Organization and other recognizable bodies. So I respond, he's reading an article about fetal vaccination in lambs. And a fetal vaccination is very different than a maternal vaccination, because that's what we're getting with COVID and COVID shots are maternal vaccinations that are crossing into the fetus that the mother is carrying. But that has never been approved. To go straight in to a fetus has never been approved. It's in a so-called, that we know of, you know, I mean, it's a so-called theoretical.
Well, up until this point, up until COVID, we've never actually, quote, recommended vaccination of any kind to pregnant women.
That's correct. So I just respond. I said, this is reading an article about a fetal vaccination in lambs. This is not a procedure that is approved or recommended by the World Health Organization or the Centers for Disease Control. And I said, though he said that this could happen in humans, he did not say that it was happening, nor did he say that humans should not allow fetuses to be vaccinated. In the process of my appeal, I had to go to re-education boot camp.
Excuse me?
I had to answer.
What's re-education boot camp? Give you a questionnaire.
They give you a questionnaire and you have to fill it out. And because I know how the game is played and I understand what they think medical misinformation is, I answered all seven of their stupid questions correctly. I was able to identify medical misinformation and they said, good job. If you don't trespass again for 90 days, these warnings will be removed from your channel. So good job. Good girl. So I did the re-education and I made my appeal. And Johnny, 15 minutes later, not a next day, 15 minutes later, I received notice from Google saying, thank you for your appeal. We have reconsidered it and we deny your appeal.
Thanks, but this, no thanks, is what they said. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is the free speech world that we live in. You're not really free. People think that they're freer on Rumble or they're freer on X or they're freer on, you know, whatever other platform they have. But you're not. When push comes to shove and it's decided that you say things that they don't want people to hear, you will be shadow banned as Alan was for years, or you'll simply just be, you know, sent to re-education boot camp. Your videos pulled. Because I've been careful.
Yeah. I want to know a few things, right? And this is probably something we're never going to know. Who are these moderators that they have? Who actually sits down and goes through all of this and finds a video or whatever, or a talk or something, and, you know, a podcast or whatever, and says, oh, that's misinformation, and pulls it down? Well, I can tell you one thing. I think a lot of it has to do with some of the algorithms. I also think that you have actual people, you know, if somebody reports on something, then, you know, they'll get flagged that way. It'll get forwarded on. But we've actually run into this problem. We figured out as soon as they started with the quote unquote censorship of medical misinformation during COVID, that's when all of this really got dose of, you know, jet fuel on the bonfire, if you will. We noticed that was a problem very early on when they started saying, oh, wait a minute, you only need to be getting things from like the World Health Organization or the CDC or the FDA or Fauci or whatever. And only these outlets are accredited and able to carry this information. So this is where you need to go. We found this to be on most of the podcasting platforms. Spotify was one of them that started. If you said anything about COVID, anything, it did not matter. If you had COVID or something about social distancing, or we tried it because we had to get really creative with the program descriptions when we were putting episodes up about what was going on during COVID, because anything that we would list in the description would automatically be flagged and you would get suggestions to be redirected to credible, quote, credible sources other than that podcast that was published.
Yeah. Yes. I know exactly what you're talking about. And I've had that with even things like chemtrails and geoengineering and so forth, where they want to put up their little, you know, authorized version of reality warning on the video. But this was interesting to me because I had felt for a long time that these kinds of strikes and warnings and reprimands were pretty much run 100% algorithmically, that there was no human interaction. But after this happened, I think now that there is a panel. And who are they? I don't know. Green haired transgenders with a chip on their shoulder who, you know, I don't know.
That's my suggestion as to who it might be, because if you look at some of these AI, I love how people say, oh, artificial intelligence. We don't have any such thing. You have algorithms that are programmed by people with a bias, these types that you're talking about. OpenAI, I think, was one of the companies. I think that was the one.
Yeah.
They showed some of their senior programmers and analysts and all of that. And it was exactly what you were talking about. It was the green-haired feminists or transgenders or whatever. And that's who's programming your AI algorithms.
Yes. Yeah. What you're talking about in Canada, and it's a very real threat. I think it's here because we are being moved into their new world order, their secular world order, or their fourth industrial revolution, or the Great Reset, whatever, however you want to look at it, that we've been warned about this for decades in one way or another. We're going there in 100 ways that I can think of, like right now. And in many ways, we're already there. And one of them is you're going to be good. You see, you're going to be a good citizen. You're going to say the right thing. You're not going to offend anybody. Yes, exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Men in Black reference there. Oh, okay. Yeah. When I grow up. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So that is it. And it will get worse and worse. I mean, so right now what happened? I had a couple of videos pulled, but let's say, I mean, I'm not monetized, so these channels aren't monetized. But if they were, then that's my income, because now I'm loathe to go to YouTube. I've always been careful about anything, even on other videos that I put up. If we get into COVID, if we get into dying suddenly or whatever, I may just silence that whole segment of the video, or I may put in a weird sound effect. So, you know,
well, we actually
self-censorship.
Yeah. Yeah. Before I get to that, we were actually kind of sitting around, we were jokingly laughing about it because one of our things got pulled down for medical misinformation, and we've never given medical misinformation. We're very careful about what we say. We have to be, and we have to abide by all the FCC regulations and all that stuff. It's no different. We have to sit down, and we went through legal and went through and made sure everything was as it should be before we even did anything to start any kind of podcasting and everything to go with it. So we made sure that all of our I's were dotted, our T's were crossed and everything. We weren't going to be liable, and we need to make sure that we hold ourselves to the same broadcast standards as anybody else that's on television or terrestrial radio. It has to be that way. We can say certain things, but we can't, you know, you can say a little bit more on podcast than what you can say on, like, for example, terrestrial radio or television. You can allow a couple expletives through, for example, but that's about as far as you can go. But to your point about today and it being a couple of videos being taken down and you're not monetized. Okay, yes, that would be your income if it were monetized. Yeah. And I know a lot of people that got pulled down. We're actually we're going on four, close to 5 years behind on what we wanted to do as far as monetization here. We wanted to do this years ago, but we couldn't because of PayPal, Patreon and all these, they were throwing everyone off just the same for saying anything against whatever. So again, that's a form of taking away monetization. I think you even had problems with that too,
going all
the way back many years ago. Due to this, what's going on in Canada, today, it's taking your videos down. Tomorrow, it's taking your videos down, a knock on the door, and you're not doing a questionnaire online.
Being
an appeal to Google or YouTube or, well, it's the same company or whatever. It doesn't matter. You're doing a questionnaire and you're sitting in a re-education camp is what you're doing.
That's right. See, Alan was smart. He didn't particularly want to be martyred. Therefore, when you've got, I hope that I've got the bill right, that it is C-16. But once you had to be careful about your pronouns, these certain things that you might say about certain people became hate crimes, that's when he stopped talking about it. Because to talk about it, then he would be committing a crime. So I have been a little bit of what you might call a wee chancer. I'm a wee little chancer. I'm always taking my chances wherever I can, because I figure, well, hey, it's still legal. So let me just, you know, say it, offend it, put it out there, name it. But we're at a point now where we're not living by legislation. I think the Me Too movement proved that loud and clear. When people can be canceled publicly without due process, when a woman who shows up in an industry where your appearance is part of the currency, and she's willing to say anything, dress anyway, pretty much do anything, but it's got to be on her terms, right? I mean, that's all I'm saying, right? It's got to be on her terms. Otherwise, Me Too. And I think that that was a real eye-opener for people, that due process was out the window. So, you know, we can be we chancers, but once it becomes clear that, you know, they're going to show up and knock on your door, then, you know, is that the sword that you die on?
Well, that's what people are going to have to ask themselves. I mean, the hill to die on for me was I'm not taking a shot. I'm just not doing it. I don't care how that's going to go. But I can tell you right now, that's not going to happen.
I've got a hill to die on. I'm not sure that it's a video about somebody who's got 16 or 35 brothers because of a raised sperm donor. You know, that just may not be my hill to die on.
You don't want to find yourself on the wrong end of medical misinformation there, do you?
No. Not if it comes with, you know, not if it comes with a cell and a, you know, a tin plate of gruel. No, thanks.
Yeah. Well, you'd be lucky if you get that. And it'd be a plate of insect gruel, because you can't have, you know, anything else. It's going to be that insect protein.
Oh, unless it's a burger made with human cells.
Oh, God. No, absolutely not. We're coming down here on the final 10 minutes. Do you have anything else you want to talk about, or would you like to end a little early, or do you have any? Actually, I'll tell you what. Let's cover any topics you might have that have been on your mind since the last couple of weeks, and then we can talk about what's going on with your latest podcast and what you've got on the website.
Oh, I don't know. You've done really well bringing up the topics that should be on our minds. I told you before we started recording that what had definitely not been on my mind were any family photos that Catherine, Princess of Wales,
took. Oh, goodness, no.
That's not on my mind.
I don't know what's going on with that. The first reports that I heard the other day, I suppose, because we always have a little bit of fun at the end of these things now. One of the reports that I heard the other day was that Charles had died. That was being reported by a few obscure outlets. Nothing confirmed. But then the Twitter account or X account or whatever it is, the account of the BBC changed to a black banner. And the only time it's done that is when the Queen died. So I thought, okay, it changed. And I thought, okay. Then a report came out that Buckingham Palace put their flags at half-mast. Well, usually when a member of the royal family dies, then there's a media blackout until everybody gets their story straight and there's one story that comes out. So there's not a whole bunch of speculation and whatever. And it's not a media circus. Usually it's everybody gets the same story. But I was talking to somebody that knows people in the armed forces in the UK. And of course, they're going to know first. Usually they're told to be prepared for an announcement that's that's going to be, you know, released shortly. So there was nothing that was being said there. Usually they're going to be the first to know. So it turned out that Charlie's not dead, so we have to hear more of his climate change garbage, unfortunately. But then I saw something about William's wife, Kate, which she is, if Charles goes, she is de facto the Queen of England. I mean, I'm pretty sure that's how it's going to go. And then she's not going to be a queen consort. She's going to be the queen. But then she's not been seen since Christmas, and there's wild speculation about where she's been. The palace has said that she will not be seen again until after Easter, which is, I think it's in a couple of weeks or a few weeks from now. And then all of a sudden this video pops up. And clearly, I mean, I was watching the video that the Sun Papers put out. That's not her. I don't even think that's him. But that's what's been going on. It's all over. Like, I've been watching the Scottish press, and they've been some Scottish press outlets have been covering it, and they're talking about how it's a farce, and you know, it's not her, and it, clearly it's not. I mean, I've seen videos. They've done side by side comparisons of photos and walking posture, mannerisms, that you know, that kind of stuff, and it's clearly not the same woman.
Yeah, it's interesting because there's nothing, there's no photograph, even this whole story of her doctoring the photographs. She's not delivering photographs directly to news outlets, to Getty Images or anything like that. That's not happening. I mean, the idea of Princess Kate sitting at a desk playing with Photoshop is so laughable to me, I can barely contain it. You know, I mean, this is just so silly. So whatever is happening and whatever we're hearing about it, it's purely by design. In other words, it's a big distraction for reasons that we don't really know, because they would just simply put a lid on it. Same thing with like Meghan and Harry and when Di was still around, all these stories. This is all, you know, authorized, sanctioned public relations releases. They're press releases. So the doctored photo is a type of press release. The scandal, the mystery about her abdominal surgery and the fact, you know, this is all press. Why? I don't know.
Don't they have anything better to do?
No.
I mean, I'm not a fan of the royal family. I mean, I'm an American. I don't like them.
I've got much better things to do. I've got to think about cannibalism in Haiti.
Yes. Yeah. You got to go to the UN and practice some theosophy or something. You know, that's what you got to do. What do you have on your latest podcast? What's coming up with your latest podcast? And what do you got going on the website?
Well, I have been really busy. And the latest real history is with a woman named Laura. And it's just, I think this is an interesting episode because she's relatively new to what you'd call the waking up or seeing reality as it is, and later in life. So that's fascinating to me. You know, what was it that prompted that? And for her, it was simply what we've lived through for the past 4 years. I don't want to get too deep into it and be accused of medical misinformation, but she said to her, this was just not real. It was not anything that she had ever witnessed before in her life. And it made her start questioning things and led her to Alan Watt's work. And then I've got the latest Signs and Symbols that went up last week was The Hidden Hand. That's the Napoleon in the waistcoat, the vest hand movement.
Have you seen the Macron memes that are out now of him in the Napoleon garb with his hand?
Yes, yes. Well, speaking of things, this is not happening on the website. I won't be putting up anything there. But I heard, you know who Candace Owens is?
I do, yeah. Daily Wire.
Yeah. So I don't know if you've heard this, but Candace Owens claims that she's got lots and lots of convincing, compelling evidence that Macron, his wife Bridget, is actually a man.
Okay. I've heard this from other outlets before. I have no comment. It's just like the Michelle Obama thing when it comes to that. Yeah. I have no comment. Joan Rivers didn't make it very long after saying that. So
I know. I don't want to be re-educated. Sorry.
And I don't want to meet the Clintons either. So I'm good.
So anyway, busy here. Lots going on always.
Well, I will see you in 2 weeks again. Yes.
That's right. Thank you.
All right. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure. I'll see you in 2 weeks. Again, that is Melissa from CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com. I encourage all of our listeners to get over there and take a look at the treasure trove of information that they have, where they maintain the life collected works of the late, great Alan Watt. Again, that is Melissa with CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com. And her podcast is Real History with Melissa. That is available everywhere you get your podcasts. Melissa, I will see you in 2 weeks. It has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for being here today. Thank you to all of the listeners. God bless everyone and have a great evening.